chapter number 3. Ephesians chapter number 3. Get there, say amen. Ephesians chapter number 3, verse number 20. The Bible says, "Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." At the beginning of verse 21, you see two words. Why don't you go back and look at those first two words of verse 21. Unto him. That's what I'm going to preach on for a little bit this evening. Unto him. Unto him. It goes on to say, "Be glory in the church." Verse 20 starts out, "Now unto him that is able." Everything that we do in life should be unto him. Everything that we have in life is because of him. But what we do from the point in time God saves us until we see him, whether it's some form of work or service to him, it should be to him, unto him. Our praise should be unto him. Our worship should be unto him. But just for a little bit of introduction to the message this evening, up until this point, if you was to read, we picked up and read in chapter number 3, at the end of chapter 3, but if you was to read Ephesians 1, 2, and 3, the book of Ephesians is just one long theological exaltation. I mean, it's just the writer is exalting the Lord over and over. Paul's emptied the contents of his soul as he's revealed the mysteries that were hidden from before the foundation of the world. And so these first three chapters are just theological gold mines. If you read through Ephesians chapter 1, 2, and 3, and I'd encourage you, if you hadn't read there in a while, they're short, but they are power-packed, and you ought to do you good to go read Ephesians, especially those first three chapters. But after Paul has penned these words and given us through the moving of the Holy Spirit these chapters, we get to the verses that we just read, and this great outpouring of truth, Paul concludes the chapters by giving voice to the praise that dwells in his own heart. He's sitting there, having just penned these great depths of truth and these great gems that we can mine out of these chapters that the Holy Spirit had given him, and his heart turns heavenward and he begins to praise the Lord and to thank the Lord. And he writes, Paul writes the words, and he's overwhelmed by the truths that he's been privileged to learn. So after he prays for the Ephesian saints, he lifts his own voice personally to God and says unto him. He's been addressing them and praying for them, those at the church of Ephesus, but he looks heavenward and says unto him. And he begins praising him because all the truths, the wonderful truths he had just shared, he understands that had it not been for him, none of them would have been possible. All the blessings, all the grace, and all the mercy, and all the love that he had written about was unto him and because of him. And so the last two verses of the verses we just read are known as a doxology. The word doxology comes from the Greek word doxa and logos. The word doxa refers to the kingly majesty, which belongs to God as supreme ruler. majesty in the sense of God's absolute perfection and deity. It speaks of splendor and brightness, magnificence, excellence, preeminence, dignity, grace, and majesty. In the King James Bible, that word is usually translated as the word we read, glory. And so the word logos means a collection. It's often translated as the word word. And so because it speaks of the process of collecting thoughts in the mind, then expressing those thoughts through words. And so doxology is a word of glory. That's what that word means. And that's what Paul's doing here in those last two verses. He's giving a word of glory. Now, unto him that's able, unto him. And so, and he begins by honoring the Lord's majesty and ascribing glory to him that's exalted. It is a word of praise. And that's what Paul's doing here in the verses we read. So I want to borrow those couple of words that Paul wrote in the verses, and just two words as our title, unto him. And follow with me as we consider this thought, unto him. And there's a statement, number one, about God's greatness. In verse 20, the first part of it, look with me again and read it. The Bible said, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Unto him that is able. That says something about his greatness, his ability. Ain't you glad we serve a God that's not weak and anemic? Some measly little God that couldn't handle our needs and even our wants? No. In the previous verses of Ephesians, Paul has spent considerable time describing the happy condition of the church. He reminds us that we are not an accident, but we are saved because of the deliberate planning of an action of God. And let me just give us a few reminders of what Paul has already written. We were, number one, I'm talking about as the church, we were chosen in Christ. This is chapter 1, verse 4 deals with this. We were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. He chose you before you ever born. In other words, he knew exactly what he was getting when he got you, and he still chose you. I'd say that's pretty wonderful. Not only were we chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world, but according to chapter 1, verse 11, we are predestinated to be with him in heaven when this life ends. That's amazing. Chapter 1, verse 14, we're secure in our salvation because the Holy Spirit has been given to us as a guarantee for his purchase of us. And so that's security. Then chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, deals with we're dead in our trespasses and sin, but we have been bought out of death and brought out of death into life by the amazing grace of God. Amen. Amen. Then chapter 2, verses 5 through 7 reminds us we're saved by grace and seated with him in heavenly places. Not that we're going to be, but that we are already seated together in heavenly places. Chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 reminds us we have all that we do in Jesus, not because we deserve it, but because he extends grace to us. Nothing, listen, everything we have in Christ is simply by the grace of God. You didn't deserve any of it. I didn't deserve any of it. I didn't earn it. It's the unmerited favor of God, the grace of God. We are a people made useful and usable to God through grace and the power of God. According to chapter 2, verse 10, we are people that were separated from God because of the depravity of sin, yet we have been brought near to him by the precious blood of Jesus. That's chapter 2, verses 12 through 18. Had it not been for the blood of Christ, we would still be aliens and foreigners and would never have been able to be brought nigh. But by the blood of Jesus. And all this is found in chapters 1 and 2. And then it goes on. Chapter 2, verses 13 through 18 shows us how that we were aliens of God and everything that had to do with Him. But now He reached out to us in grace and has brought us to Himself through grace unto salvation. Chapter 2, verse 19 reminds us that we are fellow citizens with God. Chapter 2, verse 20 and 21 tells us we are the temple of God. Chapter 2, verse 22 says that we are the body of God. We're His body. He's the head and we're the body. So, yeah, Ephesians is a power-packed book. It's a tremendous truth. And so there's much more that Paul has told us in these little three chapters, but those are enough that should cause every saint of God to overflow with praise and give thanks unto His name and glory to God. So we ought to glorify God together. And listen, and often He's worthy to be praised. The Bible commands us to praise Him. And you say, well, I just ain't the praising kind. Well, then you're in disobedience. And when we don't praise Him, it's not just a difference in demeanor or a difference in personality. It's really just when you don't praise God, tell yourself and make yourself understand, I am in absolute rebellion because God commanded me to do this and I'm not doing it. Because that's the reality of it. Listen to what the Bible said. Please don't get mad at me. I'm just a messenger. This is what the Bible said. Hebrews 13, 15. By Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Psalm 47, verse 1 and 2. Oh, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with the voice of of triumph, for the Lord Most High is terrible. He is the great King over all the earth. Psalm 113, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Praise, O ye servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and evermore. From the rising of the sun unto the going down of the same, the Lord's name is to be praised. Not might be, not should be, not. It said it is to be. It's a command. Psalm 135, verses 1 through 6. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the name of the Lord. Praise ye Him, all ye servants of the Lord. Ye that stand in the house of the Lord, in the courts of the house of our God. Praise the Lord, for the Lord is good. Sing praises unto His name, for He is pleasant. For the Lord hath chosen Jacob unto Himself and Israel for His peculiar treasure. For I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did He in heaven and in earth and in the seas and all deep places. We need to get busy praising Him because we are behind. Amen. I doubt any, I'm confident none of us are going to get to heaven and realize we praised Him too much. No, we're going to wish we had done a lot more of it. And so having told us about the glory of God in saving us, Paul prays for the church. He prays for three specific things. Number one, he prays that they will be filled with God's power. In chapter 3, verse 16, look at it. The Bible said in Ephesians 3, 16, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. So Paul's praying that they would be filled with the power of God, filled with the Spirit of God. He prays that they will both know and live out the awesome love of God. Verses 17 through 19, the Bible says, deals with that. The Bible said in verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so he prays that they will be filled with God's power. He prays that they will live out the awesome love of God. His prayer is that they would love God and love one another. That don't sound too complicated, does it? I was asked today this question: how do I know if I've really forgiven somebody? That's a good question. They said, I've been praying over a year every day that God would help me forgive this particular person or these individuals. And it started out and I had so much animosity built up, and I had so much unforgiveness and anger and hurt, disappointment. And after praying and praying and praying, this person said, now I don't feel any of that no more. Does that mean I forgive them? I said, sounds pretty good. If you don't have any of those bad feelings toward them, if you don't have any animosity, none. If all that's gone, I'd say that's a good place to be at when you're forgiving somebody. Ain't you glad God, when he forgives us, don't have anything against us? No, it's a clean slate. Thank God for that. I don't know about you, but I need that. Let me help you. You need that too. Not once a year, not once a day wouldn't do us. We need that a lot. Amen. Thank God for his forgiveness. He prays they'll be able to experience the fullness of God himself in verse 19. And to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. This prayer is for them to be fully aware of who God is and all that he has done for them. So these three petitions are powerful and wonderful and glorious. They should be our own heart's desire. And these same prayers should come out of our lips, praying for our brothers and sisters. That's wonderful prayers to pray for people. I wish you'd pray those prayers for me. I need more of the love of God. I need to know more of who he is. And especially for those, if you're praying, if you have, I give this advice to that person who asked, the best thing you can do if you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody is pray for them. It's hard to stay with malice and anger and bitterness in your heart towards somebody if you pray for them like you're supposed to. It won't stay that way long. Amen. And so pray for people. These prayers that Paul prayed for these at Ephesus. We could never know and show the love of God apart from his power. We could never understand the smallest truth about God unless he opened our eyes and revealed to us his personality. So let's move on. So as part of this doxology of praise to the Lord, Paul lets us know that we have help. Praise the Lord. Ain't you glad? You ain't got to do this thing of being a Christian alone. Thank God there is help for those who desire his power. There is help for those who want to know his awesome love. And there is help for those who want to show the same awesome love to others. There's help for all those who desire to know the Lord in his fullness. That's what these verses are about. The greatness of his ability. Listen, he's able. Unto him that is able. God is able to meet these needs, not just for you, but for your wife, for your husband, for your children, for our church. He's able. Not just meet them, but to supersede them, to go above and beyond. And so while we're unable to do any of the things that Paul's mentioned in and of ourselves or in our own power, he is able. God is able. The word able means to be capable, strong, and powerful. Our God is a God who possesses all power in heaven and in earth. Our God is the God of creation. Listen, if He could speak worlds into existence, I think our little petty problems ain't going to pester Him too much. He just spoke and the worlds were framed. Listen, for by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Colossians chapter 1, 16 and 17. Not only is our God the God of creation, but our God is the God of revelation. He is. Listen. Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to the good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 9. Not only that, our God is the God of salvation. Somebody say amen right there. There would be no salvation apart from the Lord. He is the saving Lord. He is the God of salvation. The Bible said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. That's Galatians 2:20. That's my life verse. I signed somebody's Bible this morning. They said, preacher, sign my Bible. And I always sign my name and I put that Galatians 2:20 right under it. You know why? Because I would have no life apart from the life that Christ give me and lives through me. And then He not only is the God of salvation, but He's the God of resurrection. He said, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. Have the keys of death, hell, and the grave, or of hell and of death. That's Revelation 1:18. Ain't you glad that you don't just die and that's the end of it? No, we serve a God that's able. Able to save, able to sustain you, and then able to lift you up out of the ground and take you to heaven. That's the God that I serve. He's also a God of manifestation. Listen to this verse. Oh, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee. Jeremiah 32:17. He spread His fingers and made the universe. According to Isaiah 40:12, He said, light be, and the light was. We don't have time tonight to go through the Word of God and just give example after example after example of the times when God moved in awesome power on behalf of just these few that I've named. But Paul points out that our God is able to do all those marvelous things. All of them and many, many more. And if He can do that, then He's more than able to give us the great blessing Paul prayed for in our text this evening. He's able to empower us. He's able to love us and show His love to us and show that same love to others. He's able to enable us to grasp who He is and all that He has done for us in Christ. Our God is capable. Listen, He's powerful and strong, and we ought to praise Him for who He is. So, we see the greatness of His ability, but then, secondly, the greatness of His abundance. Paul says that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That phrase, exceeding abundantly above, has the idea of going above and beyond. God's ability exceeds the lengths to which our minds can think. His ability goes beyond the limits of what we can ask. That's a lot. Exceedingly abundantly above. Reckon why, Brother J.D., the Holy Ghost pushed Paul's fingers to put all those words in there. Unto him that is able to do exceeding. You'd think that'd been enough. He's able. He's able should have been enough. It had been enough to me, I would have thought. But he's able to do exceeding abundantly above that. So way more than you can think of. Way more than you can ask, he can do. Way more than you can, I mean, beyond your wildest dream, he's able to do that. I'd say that's a pretty awesome God. Yeah, his ability goes beyond the limits. Verse 20 is a pyramid of praise declaring God's ability. He's able to do. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly. He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond all that we ask or think. There's no question in the minds of believers that God's able, but far too many of us fail to enjoy the privilege of seeing him do that in our lives. We fail to follow the pattern God's given us mentioned in those verses. Just how great and powerful and strong of a base that God has. He ain't going to fail you. Promise you, he ain't going to fail you. When we are walking in His power, according to verse 16, when we're walking in His love, according to verse 17 and 19, when we're walking filled with the fullness of the Lord, we are able to tap into the awesome power of God in our lives. When we're walking in Him and in His love, He works in us and through us to accomplish the things that He desires to do in our lives. In other words, it does not fail to us for us to make the listen, it never fails. If we are seeking to serve Him, if we are recognizing His ability, and that His ability ain't just to flex His muscles and it ain't just to show His greatness, but God has a desire that He take His ability and put it in you so that you can accomplish that He's called you to do. Yes, God's strong. Yes, God's big. And yes, God's able to do all these things, but He's able to do all these things for you. That's why He wants to do it. That's why He's pushed the pen of the Apostle Paul to relay that to His children that would come to let us all know that He's able, no matter what you're facing, no matter how no matter how bad of a fuss you have with your wife today. Wow. No matter if you went to the ATM and it give you back a slip of paper and said insufficient funds. Hey, you said that ain't never happened to me. Well, it's happened to me before. Ain't it embarrassing to get up and just pay for a Coke? And they say, you might want to use another card. Well, see, that's something I can laugh about right now, but something I about cried about the day it happened. My point is simply to say this. Listen, whether it's a failing marriage, a child astray, a lost person in your family that you're scared to death they're going to die and go to hell over, a co-worker you love and may have worked with for years and they just won't hear you. Listen, know this. You are connected to, there's a God that lives in you who is able to do exceeding abundantly above anything you ask. Now, I don't know about you, but I can ask a lot. If you don't believe me, ask my wife how much I can ask for. I can say, hey, I know you just did my dirty laundry, but I'm asking for you to do it again. I know you just cleaned the dishes, but I got hungry, and I'm asking again. And these girls, I could ask and ask and ask. But I'm saying, God don't get tired of us asking. And God, and I may run into a limit with her or with them, but with God, He said, ask whatever you want. Matter of fact, I'll even put another word in there. I won't just exceed and go above anything you ask. Whatever you think.
Yeah, amen.
Now, I can ask for a lot, but I can think for a whole lot. My mind can go wild thinking, oh, God, You mean you've given me the keys to the farm? He said, no, I've given you the keys to, I mean access to all the farms. That's what he's saying. He owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And God said, it's mine. And if you need it, you got access to it. I'll tell you, it pays to know the owner. Oh, yes. Let me just tell you a personal illustration to that. And I'll tie this together. I moved back to Paclet. When I left Paclet 20 years ago, and I've been back 5. When I left, I had hunting holes all over. I mean, accumulated over my life, I had accumulated some good honey holes. And, well, then I disappeared from Paclet for 15 years. Well, I moved back, and lo and behold, all the doctors and lawyers done bought all the good land or leased it out. And, I mean, I come back, and I didn't have nowhere to hunt. I thought, this is terrible. Well, we had Miss Fern come to me and said, "Preacher, can we have a craft bazaar?" I said, "That's bizarre to me. I'd never heard of what a bazaar was." I said, "You mean like a craft fair?" She said, "Yeah, yeah." So I said, "Okay, fine, yeah." And so she goes to work and she fills that whole building over there full of people from all over. They brought in their little crafts and this and that. Well, I was walking around just to show my face and get my track and welcome to the church. And I noticed this little lady over there in the corner. And she had a little card, and it was outlined in pink. The reason I remember that, hers was the only card I kept out of the whole building. There's a reason for that. It said her company's name, and then at the bottom it said her name and her address. Josh, her address was Pauline. Antenna went up. I said, "Ding, ding." I said, "Hey, you got any land over there?" She said, "Yeah, my husband, he was a cow farmer for years. So we got all about 180 to 100 acres. I said, "Do you mind if I come talk to you one day?" "Sure." Well, I stuck that in my wallet and forgot about it. For 2 years, I went wherever I could go, nowhere good. Except for when Miss Christina let me go hunt her place. But I was switching wallets and throwing my stuff out of my wallet. And I saw that card. And I called Steve. I said, "Steve, we gotta go to Pauline." And we went and looked at one little place over here. And we made a beeline for Pauline. And found a honey hole. And I said, "That woman won't remember me." And I walked up the door, and they said, "Absolutely, y'all can hunt. Y'all can hunt." And you know why? You know how I got that access? Because I met the owner. I met the owner face to face. And that opened up a world to me that I never would have had access to. And I'm saying with God and with the blessings of God, God sits high above and has access to everything. Anybody, anything you need, he has somebody's place somewhere and he can guide you and get you there. If you need money, he can get you to a banker. If you need a relationship, he can guide you to the love of your life. He did me. If you want children, if you want beautiful children, he can give you children. I'm kidding. I'm saying whatever your need is, he can do exceeding abundantly above that. And we ought to praise him for that. I don't think we cash in on that near enough. I think we carry that card in our back pocket. That card. We carry it and throw it on the dresser at the house and let it sit there, and all them addresses and all them opportunities and all those hunting clubs and all those places and people that we need access to, we just toss them like I did that billfold for 2 years. Till one day, there it was, that opened up a whole new world. I'm saying right there in that book in your lap, there's power in that to open new worlds and to give you access to whole new places and people that'll chart the rest of your life. And only God can do that. And boy, you're well to praise Him for that. He's a great God. There's no limits to His power. He can move mountains, change lives, lift burdens, meet needs. He can change the lives of substandard saints and transform them into vessels of honor for His glory. So that's a statement about God's greatness. And I'll close quickly. There's a statement about God's grace in verse 20, the second part. Look at it. The Bible said, "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Listen. The grace of God is the ground of salvation. Because the Lord extendeth His grace toward us, He loved us. He put us in His eternal plan. He sent His Son to die on the cross for us. He sent the gospel message to us. He sent the Spirit of God to convict us. He saved us when we called upon Him, and His grace continued to sustain us day by day and moment by moment. It's been the grace of God from start to current condition. And it'll be the grace of God from here on. Amen. Could you imagine life apart from grace? I couldn't. It'd be terrifying. The grace of God also works in our lives to help us accomplish His will in the world. Paul gives us some insight into the way the grace of God works in our lives. First of all, the grace of God empowers us. Boy, that's so true. We need the empowering hand of the grace of God if we're going to accomplish what God wants us to. Paul tells us that the Lord is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It empowers us. The grace of God. This phrase simply reiterates what I've already said. God empowers His people to live for Him. Before the day of Pentecost, the Lord made His promise to His disciples, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the othermost parts of the earth." That word power in that verse and in Ephesians 3:20 is the same word. It refers to inherent power, or power that resides in a thing because of its nature. When the Lord moved in your life, His power moved into your life. Imagine how much untapped power is residing in us that we just don't tap into, but it's there. Because when God moved in you, He didn't set His power aside and say, "Okay, I'm in." No, Him and His power moved to reside in you, came to enable you. The Lord enabled Paul to preach for His glory. Listen, verse 4, the Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible said, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." The Lord enabled Paul to live for the Lord day by day. Listen to these verses. "Giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in torments, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by longsuffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, but by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, and yet possessing all things. That's Corinthians 6, 3 through 10. Paul went from one spectrum to the other. From one end to, I mean, from being powerful to being enslaved. From being brilliant to knocked down to the bottom level as a babe in Christ. From being a religious zealot and chasing men and women and boys and girls into prisons that loved Jesus to preaching Jesus. I mean, he went from one end to the other. So not only does his grace empower us, but finally his grace enlives us. Paul says, according to the power that worketh in us. The power to live for the Lord comes from him, but it comes from within. How is that possible? It's possible only because he lives in us. When he saved us, the Spirit of God came into us with the power of God's glory. He empowers us by enliving us. He empowers us by imparting his life in us. I just quoted the verse a while ago, but it's worth reading it again. And I want to encourage you to read. It's my life's verse, and I've become so familiar with it that sometimes I'll just quote it and not pay attention and do it so fast. Read this verse and try to grab what it's saying. As I read it, listen and catch what God is saying in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. When we yield to him and allow his life to flow from us, we will live lives that are pleasing to the Lord and empowered by the Lord. Thus God will use us to glorify him in this world and to bless and help and reach others. Because it's his life. It's Jesus' life that must be seen. Our life matters not. It really don't. If you do good, listen, if you do real good, I'm done, listen to me. If you do real good and at the end of your life people say, oh, what a Christian. Oh, what a good Christian they was. That's great. That's good. And people probably should say that if you allow Christ to live through you. But what people need to see and is, my, didn't they love Jesus? Way more of how good we was, they need to know who we were in love with and who was our best friend. Do you know what people say to me? This happens a lot. If me and Jenny, since we've been married, we don't go nowhere apart. I mean, very rarely will you see me and not her or her. It just don't happen. And so on the rare occasion somebody will see us, they'll say, well, where's she at? I don't ever see y'all not together. I want that to be my testimony, not just in my marriage, but with my relationship with the Lord. I want people to notice when he's not with me, when his presence and his smile and his favor and his blessing is not on my life. People should know. And if they ever see you walking in him, especially consistently for a while, they will know when you're not. You ain't got to be drinking a Budweiser for them to know. You ain't got to be cussing, going in a cussing fit for them to know. Oh, no, people can be around you 5 seconds and know. It's the truth. Some preachers, and I've been around a bunch of them, some preachers, and I'm going to name one, that when they walk in my presence, I know that man's been with the Lord. Brother Milton Taylor, It's amazing. Every time he walks or gets in my presence, it's just like, it's like Jesus just walked in the room. And I'm not talking about Milton Taylor. I'm talking about who's in Milton Taylor. Amen. Yeah. But he walks with him. They're such good friends. It's weird to see Milton Taylor apart from Jesus. That should be our test. That should be what we desire to have as a testimony. Christ in us. The hope of glory. Let's stand together. Father, in Jesus' name, take this scrabbled word tonight, Lord, and use it. Help us, Lord, to give you honor and praise. God, with bowed heads and bent hearts, Lord, we pray and call on your name, asking you tonight, Lord, help us to see how much we have in you, how good you've been to us, Lord, your grace and goodness toward us. God, you're willing to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. We bless your name for it. Help us to praise you more. God, help us to make up our mind. We're going to walk with you this week. God, people see Christ in us, living through us. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. As they sing, these altars are open. You come.